All right. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're going deep on blow molding versus injection molding.
Two really cool processes.
Yeah. If you're trying to make lightweight products.
Exactly.
It's what you want to know.
This is it.
We're going to figure out which one you should be using for your project.
For sure.
Our guide for this deep dive is this article called Blow Molding versus Injection Molding. Which process is best for creating lightweight products?
Oh, very nice.
And the coolest thing is that the author of this article has actually used both of these processes.
Oh, wow.
In the real world.
Yeah, that's great. Having that practical experience is so valuable.
It is.
You can read all the textbooks you want, but nothing beats hearing about how these things actually play out when you try and make something real.
I know, right? Like when I was reading this, I was like, oh, this is so cool because they're talking about all the stuff that actually happened to them.
Yeah.
So first up, blow molding.
Okay.
I love how they describe it in the article.
Yeah, how do they put it?
They say, yeah. Imagine blowing up a balloon, but instead of air,
right.
You're using molten plastic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you end up with these hollow, lightweight shapes.
Gotcha.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, it sounds simple enough.
Yeah. But here's where I already start to get tripped up.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
How do you make sure that that plastic spreads out evenly?
Right.
I feel like it would get all lumpy and weird if you weren't careful.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And that's actually one of the strengths of blow molding is that it naturally creates incredibly even material distribution.
Okay.
Which means you can get those super thin walls while still maintaining strength.
Interesting.
Think about like a plastic bottle,
right.
Lightweight, holds
yeah.
its shape,
yep.
doesn't use a ton of material.
Yeah.
That's blow molding.
I see. At work.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see the appeal here for lightweight products.
Yeah, for sure.
And the article even mentions this project where they use blow molding for...
What was it?
Wait for it.
Okay.
Plastic bottle.
Oh, well, of course.
Classic.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But they said it was incredibly efficient.
Nice.
The thin walls save them a ton of money on materials.
Yeah.
And it was better for the environment.
Oh, wow. So they were hitting all the right notes.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All the boxes are checked.
All the boxes.
So now let's shift gears and talk about injection molding.
Okay.
Okay. So instead of blowing air,
right.
you're injecting molten plastic into a mold
okay.
where it cools and solidifies
uh-huh.
into the shape that you need.
Gotcha.
And the author said it's almost like magical watching these complex shapes just emerge from the mold.
It is pretty cool.
It is cool.
When you see it like that.
It is.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, if I'm trying to go for lightweight,
right.
is injection molding even an option?
Yeah, it definitely can be. But it's important to understand that injection molding's real claim to fame is its ability to create complex and precise shapes. Think about something like a really detailed electronic casing.
Okay, yeah.
You need that level of accuracy, and an injection molding delivers that.
Uh-huh.
But achieving lightweight features with injection molding,
right.
it can be a little bit more of a balancing act.
Okay.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me of
yeah.
the story that the author told about making an electronic casing using injection molding.
Okay.
And they needed all these tiny details
right.
and tight tolerances.
Yeah.
But they were also trying to keep the weight down and use as little material as possible.
Right.
Which sounds really challenging.
It can be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never.
So to really understand how these two methods stack up.
Okay.
Let's take a look at this comparison table that the article provides.
Oh, this is a great visual.
It is.
I love when they do this.
It is. Yeah. It lays out all the key differences side by side.
Side by side.
So you could really get a good overview of what we're talking about.
For sure.
So lead the way.
All right. So right away, we see that blow molding is all about inflating the plastic.
Oh.
While injection molding, as the name suggests, injects it
right.
into the mold.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But what are the trade-offs?
Oh, yeah. That's the important part.
So the table says that blow molding is great for efficiency and low cost.
Okay.
But less precise.
All right.
And injection molding gives you the detail that you need,
okay.
but potentially at a higher cost.
Okay.
So I'm guessing this all ties back to how much material you're actually using, right?
You got it. And that brings us to a really crucial concept, material utilization.
Okay.
Basically, it's all about how efficiently you're using your raw materials during production.
Okay.
The less material you waste, the lower your costs.
And I'm guessing you're a fan of saving money.
Farrell Hewson.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So walk me through how blow molding and injection molding approach material use.
Okay. So with blow molding, you're already starting with a hollow shape. And the even material distribution means you can achieve those really thin walls without compromising on strength.
Right.
Remember that bottle project we were talking about?
That's
a perfect example
yeah.
of how they were able to significantly reduce material usage,
okay.
which saved them money and lowered their environmental impact.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
What about injection molding, though?
Yeah.
Does the complexity of the designs mean you just inevitably end up wasting more material?
It can be a little bit trickier.
Okay.
Injection molding often uses a system of gates and runners.
Okay.
Basically, these channels that guide the molten plastic into the mold.
Right.
And those can create extra waste.
Okay.
Yeah. And the author actually talks about struggling with this.
Really?
Yeah. They were constantly trying to find ways to create these really intricate designs.
Yeah.
While minimizing waste.
Yeah.
It's a delicate balance.
Oh, wow.
For sure.
So it sounds like blow molding has a clear advantage when it comes to material efficiency.
Yeah. Especially if you're going for lightweight.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what if my product needs those really intricate details
right.
that injection molding is known for?
Yeah.
How do I even begin to decide which method is right for me?
That is the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
How do you choose?
Right.
When they both have pros and cons.
Exactly.
The article talks about thinking long-term.
Okay.
What does that even mean?
That's where things get really strategic.
Okay.
It's not just about what your product needs today.
Uh-huh.
It's how it might evolve down the line.
Right.
So let's say you go with blow molding.
Okay.
Because it's efficient.
Yeah.
And low cost.
Makes sense.
But then what happens if your product design gets more complex in the future?
Oh.
You might end up wishing you had gone with injection molding from the start.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it's like.
It's about.
Future-proofing.
Yeah. Future-proofing your design choices.
Okay.
So that you don't paint yourself into a corner.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard enough to figure out what I want for dinner.
Right.
Let alone, like, the future of my product.
Exactly.
So are there any guidelines I can use to make this decision a little easier?
Absolutely. The first thing to consider is the core function of your product.
Okay.
Do you need it to be hollow?
Okay.
Like to hold something?
Okay.
Does it need to be super lightweight for portability or to reduce shipping costs?
Yeah.
Or is the priority to have those super precise details
okay.
and really complex features?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like nailing down the non-negotiables of your design.
Yeah, exactly.
But what if I need a bit of both?
Okay.
What if I need lightweight AMD, some level of detail?
That's where the fun begins.
Okay.
You start getting into the nuances of material selection.
Okay.
Your article touches on this, and it's a whole world unto itself.
Okay.
Did you know that there are specific types of plastics that are designed for lightweight applications? And even within injection molding, there are techniques you can use to minimize material usage
okay.
without sacrificing those intricate designs.
Yeah.
It's all about getting creative
okay.
and pushing the boundaries.
This is starting to feel less like a rigid choice
yeah.
and more like a design playground.
It is a design playground.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
But hold on.
Okay.
Let's not forget about sustainability.
Yes.
It seems like the article is really emphasizing how important it is to consider the environmental impact
Absolutely.
Of these processes.
It's not just about feeling good.
Yeah.
It's becoming a major factor in consumer choices.
Right. People want products that are made responsibly.
Exactly.
So if you're not thinking about sustainability,
yeah.
you're falling behind.
You are.
So how do blow molding and injection molding stack up in terms of their eco-friendliness?
Well, both methods have their strengths and weaknesses.
Like.
Blow molding, with its efficient use of materials, inherently has a lower environmental impact, especially when you're talking about high volume production.
Right.
Remember that bottle project we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of how blow molding can be a win for both your budget and the planet.
I like it.
Yeah.
What about injection molding, though?
Yeah.
Is it inherently less sustainable because of those gates and runners that we talked about?
It can be a challenge,
okay.
but the industry is making strides.
Okay.
There are companies developing new types of biodegradable plastics.
Oh, that's cool.
And exploring ways to recycle those gates and runners back into the production process.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And as the technology evolves, we're seeing more energy efficient injection molding machines hitting the market.
So it sounds like even with injection molding.
Yeah.
There are ways to minimize the environmental impact.
Absolutely.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
The article mentions some pretty futuristic stuff happening in the molding world.
What is it?
Things like Industry 4.0 and 3D printing.
Oh, yeah.
What's the deal with that?
It's definitely worth having on your radar.
Okay.
Think of Industry 4.0 as giving these molding machines a digital upgrade.
Okay.
We're talking sensors,
okay,
data analysis, even artificial intelligence, working behind the scenes to optimize the process.
Okay.
Imagine having real-time insights into how your product is being made.
Wow.
Flagging any potential problems before they even happen.
So it's like...
It's like having a super smart assistant.
A super smart assistant.
Guiding the entire production process.
Okay, that sounds pretty amazing.
It is pretty cool.
And less stressful, too.
Oh, yeah. Way less stressful.
I'm all for anything that helps me avoid those late night production meltdowns.
No, nobody wants those.
No.
Yeah.
But what about 3D printing?
Okay.
I thought that was more for prototyping and one-off designs.
Right.
How does that fit into the molding world?
3D printing is actually shaking things up in a big way, especially when it comes to creating the molds themselves.
Oh.
Yeah. Traditionally, making molds was this time-consuming and expensive process.
Yeah.
But with 3D printing, you can prototype and test different designs much faster.
Okay.
And at a lower cost.
So it's like a shortcut to innovation.
It is a shortcut.
Oh, I love shortcuts.
Yeah, who doesn't?
The author mentions a story about using 3D printing for a medical device project.
Okay.
That's not exactly a simple plastic bottle.
No, it's not.
What's the story there?
They needed a highly customized mold.
Okay.
With some really intricate details.
Right.
And 3D printing allowed them to create exactly what they needed on a tight timeline and without breaking the bank.
Wow.
They even said it felt more like sculpting than traditional mold making.
Really?
Yeah. There was this whole new level of creative freedom.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I'm starting to see how 3D printing could really open up some new possibilities in molding.
Absolutely.
My brain is starting to feel a little full.
I know, it's a lot.
We've covered so much ground.
I know.
From the basics of blow molding and injection molding.
Yeah.
To these crazy futuristic innovations.
Yeah, we've been all over the place.
So what are the key takeaways that you want to make sure I walk away with?
I think the most important thing is that you now have a much deeper understanding of the tools at your disposal.
Okay.
You know, the strengths and weaknesses of blow molding and injection molding.
Uh-huh.
You're aware of the factors to consider when choosing a process.
Right.
And you've even gotten a glimpse into the future of the industry.
And most importantly, I'm not afraid to ask questions.
That's right.
Because let's be real.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
We're all learning.
But that's what makes this so exciting.
Exactly.
There's always something new to discover.
Absolutely. And that's the spirit of this deep dive.
Yeah.
We're not just giving you answers.
Right.
We're encouraging you to keep exploring and asking those what if questions.
I like it.
Because that's where the real breakthroughs happen.
Okay. I'm feeling inspired.
Good.
But before we wrap things up, I have one last question that's been bugging me. We've talked a lot about the technical aspects.
Right.
But what about the human side of molding?
Okay.
What's it like to actually work in this industry?
That's a great question. And it's something that often gets overlooked.
Yeah.
The molding industry is full of passionate people who are dedicated to their craft.
Okay.
They're problem solvers,
yeah,
innovators, creators,
mm-hmm,
and they're constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
It sounds like a pretty cool community to be a part of.
It is. It's very welcoming. And if you're curious, don't be afraid to reach out to people in the industry, attend trade shows, or even visit a molding facility.
Oh, wow.
You'll be amazed by the energy and excitement.
Okay, I'm adding that to my to-do list.
All right.
But before I get too carried away,
yeah,
let's bring it back to the task at hand.
Okay.
Creating those awesome, lightweight products.
All right.
We've talked about the processes, the materials, the innovations.
Yes.
But what about the actual design? How do those decisions impact the molding process?
Ah, that's where it all comes together.
Yeah, that's where the real artistry comes in, right?
It is.
It's not just about choosing the process. Yeah. It's about designing specifically FOR that process.
Exactly.
I'd imagine there are things you can do in the design phase to make the whole molding process smoother and more efficient.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
Designing for manufacturability.
Okay.
That's the name of the game.
Gotcha.
Think of it as a collaboration.
Okay.
Between you, the designer, and the molding process itself.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Break it down for me.
Right.
What are some of the design choices that can make a big difference in molding?
Let's start with wall thickness.
Okay.
We've talked about how blow molding excels at those super thin walls.
Right.
But even in injection molding, designing with consistent wall thickness can make a huge difference. It helps with even cooling, reduces the risk of warping, and can even save you material.
Okay, so consistency is key.
Consistency is key.
What else should I be thinking about?
Sharp corners,
Okay.
they can create stress points in the molded part, making it more likely to break.
Right.
So if you can incorporate rounded edges and smooth transitions,
Yeah.
you'll end up with a stronger, more durable product.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like those design choices are rippling through the entire process.
They do. They really do.
I'm starting to see how understanding molding can actually make me a better designer.
Exactly. It's all about having that holistic view.
Holistic.
And don't forget about draft angles.
Draft
Those
angles.
are slight tapers that you incorporate into your design
Okay.
to make it easier to eject the part from the mold.
Okay.
Without them, you could end up with parts getting stuck
Oh, no.
or even damaged.
I see those pesky details.
I know, right?
It's amazing how much I don't know.
There's always more to learn.
But I'm starting to see the light, like all these little design tweaks can add up to a smoother, more efficient, and ultimately more successful molding process.
Exactly. And a more sustainable one, too.
All right.
Don't forget, designing for manufacturability often goes hand in hand with designing for sustainability.
Okay.
When you're using less material, minimizing waste, and creating durable products that last longer,
Right.
you're reducing your environmental impact.
Okay, that's a win-win in my book.
It is a win-win.
But I have to ask, with all these design considerations and technical nuances, is molding something that anyone can just pick up and do?
That's a good question.
Or do you need some serious engineering chops?
Molding is definitely a specialized field,
Okay.
but it's also more accessible than you might think.
Really?
There are tons of resources available, online courses, workshops, even hands-on maker spaces,
Oh,
where
cool.
you can experiment with different molding techniques.
That's good to know. I'm all for a little DIY action.
Yeah, it's fun.
But I'd imagine that for larger scale production, you'd probably want to work with a professional molding company.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There are some amazing companies out there that specialize in molding.
Right.
And working with experts can save you a lot of time, money, and headaches in the long run.
I bet.
They have the experience, the equipment, and the know-how to bring your product to life.
Makes sense. Okay, so
Ooh.
I've got my design checklist.
Yeah.
I'm brushing up on my molding knowledge,
Okay.
and I'm not afraid to call in the experts when needed.
Good.
I'm feeling ready to tackle this lightweight product challenge.
All right.
But before we wrap up, I have one last slightly meta question.
Okay, shoot.
We've talked about what blow molding and injection molding are,
Right.
but what do they represent to you?
Oh, wow.
What's the bigger picture here?
That's a thought-provoking
It
question.
is kind of deep,
It is.
but I'm curious to hear your take.
For me, these processes represent human ingenuity at its finest.
Okay.
It's about taking raw materials and transforming them into something useful, something beautiful, something that solves a problem or improves someone's life.
I love that. It's like we're taking this shapeless blob of plastic and giving it a purpose, a form, a function. It's almost poetic.
It's a reminder that limitations can often spark creativity. When you're working within the constraints of a particular process, you have to get resourceful, you have to innovate, you have to push the boundaries,
Yeah.
and that's where the real magic happens.
Okay, I'm officially inspired.
Good.
This deep dive has not only given me a ton of practical knowledge,
Right.
it's also ignited my imagination.
Excellent.
I can't wait to put all this newfound wisdom into action.
That's what we like to hear. Remember, this is just the beginning of your molding journey. There's a whole world out there waiting to be explored.
And that's a wrap for our deep dive into the world of blow molding versus injection molding.
All right.
We hope you've enjoyed the ride and that you're feeling empowered to create some truly amazing lightweight products.
Yeah, go make something cool.
Until next time, keep learning, keep creating, and keep that curiosity burning bright.
We'll see you next time.